Some matches are temporary, but your privacy shouldn't be. With Line 2, you get a second phone line just for dating. No need to share your personal number until you're ready. You can chat, text, and even block numbers, all while keeping things fun and private. It's perfect for online dating, blind dates, or just keeping things light. When you're ready to move on, Line 2 lets you cut ties without any drama. Dating should be fun and carefree. Line 2 keeps it that way. Ready to date on your terms? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.
Audio Frontier.
It's Wrestling Daft. It is the Marks on a Tuesday, or whenever you're listening to this podcast. Hailing from Lambert, weighing in 184. It's going to be more now. I know it is. I'm John, producer of Wrestling Daft, host of this show. And with me, a man bigger than the amount of people you can now get into your house indoors with the tears dropping, apart from...
Well, it depends. How many are you classing these people as feet? Because if so, I'm technically bigger than that.
Yeah, you are. So
that's incorrect. Sorry.
Big Alex, pissing over Mintro as normal. How are you?
Someone's got to do it. And don't worry, Gary will piss all over your intro to him.
He will do that. You've just ruined it because you just say that.
Now the listeners who are sitting going, I wonder who the third person could...
Who's the third man? And that man there, of course. This man has been celebrating the week of a brilliant album's anniversary. It's the 20th anniversary of Sum 41's All Killer No Filler, and you have no idea how old that makes me feel. It is Gary Cassidy.
It's one of the ones where I just always go back and look at my Facebook memories, and then it's like, wait, 3 years ago I said that was the 17th anniversary. I was like, oh no, that's no good. I remember getting it like on a... I think it was like a week or two after it came out, my sister got me it and was like, you'll probably like this. And that turns out I did.
So, what age were you when you got that?
I was 11 years old I got that.
Since we're talking about Sum 41, and I know this is a close segue, how do you feel about the rumour that Avril Lavigne was actually replaced by a doppelganger many years ago?
Yeah, I love that. I don't think it's true, but I love the explanation of it anyway. And my favourite thing ever, I think we've actually spoke about this before on the show, is Avril Lavigne meet and greets, where she just, like, even before the pandemic, stood about 20 feet away from the person that was paying to meet her.
Oh, really?
The most awkward photos ever. I
actually met Avril Lavigne when I was working at a radio station years gone by. It was off.
Did you get to stand close to her, or were you forced to?
Oh, no. I was within feet of Avril Lavigne. I was within feet because obviously we had to hold the mic up to her because it was 4 days of...
But did she have that look of get the fuck away from me in her eyes?
Yeah, right? She wasn't much chat. I will be honest with you. She did not have much chat. She really wanted to get out of there. And then she went out, obviously, was it Derek from...
Derek Wibley, after being married to Chad Kroger from Nickelback.
I thought it was the other way around. I thought it was Derek.
Oh, wait, I think it's the wrong way around. I think it was Derek Wibley first and then Chad.
So who is she married to now?
Do you know why I didn't work out what one it was first? It's complicated.
Oh, my word. Rock a flyer.
If you can rock hey, I would like to be your girlfriend into a joke for this podcast, I'll be very impressed.
Hey, yeah, work on
no, that. Hey, you, I could be your girlfriend. See, Tay-Tay just...
No way, no way.
Fucking lyric.
Anyway, how did we get from some... I know why we got from some...
Because they were married. I thought it was a good song.
It was a good song.
You can transition into Canadian wrestlers and then we're off to a fly on.
Oh, yeah. We'll hit that up next. And talking of Canadian wrestlers, before we get into the show, I think we'll just briefly touch... We'll get more into it when we come to AEW Blood and Guts a bit later on. But the big chat on the wrestling world that split the wrestling world right down the middle was the Chris Jericho bump. Yes or no, Alex?
Well, obviously, yes, because you can't write... This was my entire bury, so you've ruined it now, so I'm going to do it now.
Right.
So I'm going to bury the entire fucking IWC this week for being massive hypocrites, because what did we have 6 months ago? We had the Matt Hardy, Sammy Guevara bump that everyone fucking moaned about because it was too dangerous. And now, 6 months later, they have the safer version of it to save Jericho, and they fucking moan about that as well. What do you want? What do you want? Do you want dangerous bumps? Do you want safe bumps?
How the most people look back on the Rikishi fall, I think most people look back on that with fondness, where they went into a big pile of hay. So I feel like I'm always trying to protect the wrestlers here, so people will only be surprised by my comments on it, but I just feel like every issue about it was on production. I feel like if you shot it for a different angle, amazing. Just don't show the landing. I don't think it loses much by not showing the landing. But how old is Chris Jericho? I don't think you expect that guy to take a bump for that high up onto just, I know it's, you know, not just concrete, but onto mainly concrete. I think that's ridiculous for anybody to even think that's a thing. So for me, I think a wee bit more protection of the landing in terms of actually how you film it. And I think it wasn't the only production issue during that match. Annoyingly, there was a really good chair shot halfway through that that they just cut away for, a completely WWE-esque cut away for the actual important part. So I think it was just production-wise, it was a wee bit rubbish. Mm. But my main thing is, it's the only comparison that I will draw, because a lot of people are comparing it to the disappointment of the exploding barbed wire death match. The only comparison I would have with that is that, annoyingly, the wrestlers have put everything into having an amazing match, and then one thing out with their control has kind of tainted it. So I just think that's a wee bit annoying for, you know, on part of the wrestlers, but I don't have an issue with it. Fucking Chuck Crash Mats, I know you want. Like, wait until we go onto Raw last night and you'll see how polarising things have been and how much that you could have used a Crash Mat on a couple of...
Well, yeah.
They just need to have built the stage around it a little bit more. I mean, it was fucking obvious what that stage was there for since the minute the episode started. And I'm fine with that. Everyone's been doing it. You can see on, like, NXT have been really bad for it recently with, like, their jumping spots off the cages and shit. So... it's fine. I think they need to do a better job of disguising it. You know, maybe have him go further down so he like falls into the stage so you don't see the landing or something like that. But it's
just the, like guys say, it's the production's camera. If they went to a wide camera angle, it would have been absolutely fine, you know. But because it was
they did zoom around it a little bit too much as well when they had like everyone surrounding Jericho and kind of showed it off a little bit. But the worst thing is, I think it ruined the match for a lot of us because just everyone's reaction to it. Because I didn't get to watch it for a couple of days and all I saw was all this kind of a controversy about it, and it just fucking ruined the show.
It's the kind of match where, and again, this is a very extreme comparison, but I will say it about the, what I said about the eye for an eye match, where, you know, you see the eye coming out, but you can't zoom in 20 years ago. You can't pause. You can't go back and look at it. People are like, oh, man, that's amazing. And now in the age of social media, you can pause everything and analyze it by every minuscule detail, every millisecond that it can be exposed. And people go, oh, that's shite because I've manipulated it so much that I can see every single part of it. So,
like you said, it's a complete shame because that visual of MJF standing in front of the on top of the cage with the blood streaming down it would have been an iconic MJF image if it hadn't been for what kind of came after it, if you know what I mean. I'm not a massive fan of those spots anyway. See, if you go do a spot like that, you know, it's like a push. It was just like a push. At least do some like a drop kick or a punch or something random. Well,
the one thing that people were also getting pissed off of that I actually really liked was the storytelling in the match. I thought the storytelling was great. I liked the way it was done via surrender, and I liked the way that to stop him doing it, and then he did the little push because I felt it made much more sense in the character development of those two wrestlers and his original storytelling.
I think I'm the opposite of you, John, because I actually like, I completely don't care about how no great those bumps look. And the one thing I actually don't like, and I think I've mentioned it before, I'm not big on blading in matches, and I'm just not big on like blood in general in matches. Obviously, I was onto a loser with this because it was called Blood and Guts. So it's like, well, they need to do something violent. So I actually, you know, if you were going to remove anything for the match, I'd probably remove a wee bit of the blading and keep in the bump. It was just the production. It was a wee bit annoying, but I don't think for me, I didn't really let it ruin my enjoyment. I still look back at that and think it was a good match. Could have been better, but nothing to do with the wrestlers, so...
Yeah, fair enough. We'll get more into AEW and Blood and Guts when we get to the buddies and putovers a bit later on, and Gary has already hinted that Raw was another shocker last night, so...
That's fine, because Alex is going to need to be scrambling for another buddy or putover right now, so we're Eleanor.
I've already done it, I'm just going to take half of it off now. It's fine.
True. But first, before we get into the show, we have to hand over once again to the comedy stylings of Mr. Gary Cassidy.
So I have to say, I've phoned in ever so slightly this week again and literally thought I won in the past couple of minutes. So I do apologise, but it might work out better than the ones in the past few weeks. So I'm going back to a classic here that everybody's going to hear a different incarnation of this joke, but they've probably not heard a wrestling one. Ryback walks into a library, goes up to the librarian and goes, "Can I have a steak, please?" And she goes, "Ryback, you're in a library." He goes, Oh, sorry. Can I have a steak, please? pure shite, but it's the best you're getting this week when I've no wasted my time thinking that one.
Fair enough. I enjoyed that. Of course, Ryback is now officially retired, according to the poll that's been ran about three or four times.
I think this is the best Ryback gimmick he's ever had, because he's obviously aware of what he's doing. It's brilliant marketing.
It's just turns out retired. It's like, well, we did out all the bots. We're all fine now. This is official now. Love it. Check out Ryback's Twitter for more info. Now,
no, don't encourage anyone to check out anything to do with him.
He's still a prick, but I mean, I respect the hustle on this one. He's marketing himself quite well this time around.
You can buddy Gary's jokes if you want to. That you can do that for the main show, but we'll be buddying putting over the stuff from the shows a bit later on with our New Age Mark Laws, which is our Patreon-only tag team who come on and do SmackDown for us. We'll have all the latest news, but first, let's get into a promo.
I have a lot of things I want to get off my chest.
Right, I think you boys, whether you're coffee drinkers, whether you're tea drinkers like Alex, you'll both agree with me on that one. In the workplace, is there no bigger heel than someone who goes and makes a cup of tea but doesn't ask if you want one?
Oh no, I hate that, man. Like, but again, I should say that when I worked in the office, we worked in soundproof individual booths. So you done everything you could not to talk to your colleagues. So I'm against you on that one. But at the same time, in a house, I think that's the kind of thing where there's nothing worse than no offer on somebody.
Okay.
So like, John, I've worked in an office floor that has over 200 people on it. Am I offering everyone on that floor to get them a cup of tea?
You know what I mean? I'm not talking about your whole floor or what have you. I'm talking about your colleague, your buddy that you talk to at work, the person next to you. Or like Gary flags up, if your other half goes and makes a cup of tea or coffee and doesn't ask if you want one, that is completely...
Or the other side of that I would say is if you're talking to somebody and they open up a packet of chewing gum or a packet of mints and just gob one without saying, would you like one?
Yes. Absolute heel move. I just want to say to those people that don't offer the tea or the coffee or the chewing gum, as Gary quite rightly points out, sort it out, man. Just have a bit of consideration. You know, you don't have to be a heel all your life. You can make a face turn at any point by
who
just
hurt
offering
you this week, John. Who hurt you? Would you like to call?
I cannot reveal my sources, but let's just say I live with her. I've been married to her for 13 years.
I think I'm actually also the opposite end of that scale, because if I'm out for a drink with somebody, if you go to the bar, I'm getting a pint. Do you want a drink? But then most people will just be like, aye, and then they've only return the favour, and you're like, cool, I'm just a fiver at a pocket.
Well, that's all right. I've been to the pub with Alex. I know what that's all about.
Alex is the ultimate instigator of rounds. Thank you very much. And I will make sure everyone's fixed by the rounds.
Right, okay. Mark that down, Gary. Record that for the next time we go to the pub. Thank you very much. Every week on The Marks, we take a look back at the big wrestling shows of the week in the company of our Mark tag team. They've been on for the last few weeks. They're undefeated. They're unchallenged. It is the New Age Mark Laws. How you doing, boys?
Good yourselves?
All good.
Good stuff. That is, of course, Bronze Chell and Rico.
Should point out that Rico is looking about 10 years younger because he's taken his beard down to stubble.
I know. And for anyone that's not watching the video version of this, he's sporting a fantastic bit of Wrestling Daft merch. He's went for the classic I'ma Take a Bump For You, which is available, of course, at shop.spreadshirt.co.uk/wrestlingdaft. You can get all your Wrestling Daft merchandise needs right there. Always find an opportunity to plug something on the podcast. Right, so we'll take a look back at the big shows from the week as ever, and we'll start off last Tuesday. It seems like an absolute eternity away, and it was NXT. Now, I've got a big, long list of buries this week. I don't know why. I quite enjoyed the show, but I've written a lot down. Let's just start off with Fashion Corner. Fashion Corner. We still need a jingle for that. I'm going to go straight to Fashion Corner. And let's just bury, again, Kyle O'Reilly. Come on, man. That new look that he's got. Really cheap-looking sunglasses. The hat, the flannel. not a good look for someone that's
made. He did address it though on Twitter. One of the official accounts put up a photo of him saying about something about drip, and they replied to it saying, "I don't know what that word means, but if it means I've got fashion sense, I disagree." Which I was like, "That's brilliant." So at least he knows. At least he's self-aware.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
On the flip side,
because we had a whole confrontation between all the kind of challengers for the world title. It was one of those typical segments where Karrion Kross came out, and then everyone and their granny poured out of the dressing room, Pete Dunne, Finn Balor, blah, 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 Johnny Gargano. But let's put over Karrion Kross's waistcoat. Yes, I do dig.
Are you sure this isn't just a full fashion corner segment you've done? Because that's not twice that you've left, but you've just come straight fucking back.
Yeah, we're in fashion corner at the moment. Before we move into a body put over, I think it's important to get the important things out the way first. And we went to fashion corner. Now we'll come out of fashion corner and we'll move back into buddies and put over. And let's go for the first put over of the week, will we? And we are going to put over Leon Ruff. That boy can take a bump, ladies and gentlemen. Really enjoyed the match with Swerve. On the flip side of it, Swerve, I mean, he's really, really impressed me. And I think putting what looks to be a new kind of faction, his crew, his kind of hip-hop crew around him there, that ex-NFL player is the kind of muscle. Gary, who is the woman that's part of the crew?
She's Brianna Brandy. She actually was a dancer for Soulja Boy and done like a full worldwide tour as a dancer. She's also a singer, recording artist. She's done everything apart from wrestle, but she's a massive wrestling fan. I think she signed about a good 2.5-3 years ago now. So she's been there for a wee while, but she's been turning up like when they were using talents in the Performance Center for Raw and SmackDown. She was there quite a bit. Obviously quite noticeable, so like if you know who she is, you pick her out a mile away. And then she was turning up in the Leon Ruff vignettes as well. The Swerve vignettes.
Yeah, when he was in the recording studio.
I'm just trying to find it because a trademark that got filed that is 100% for this faction. Hit Row Records. It's not official, but they filed that trademark.
I like.
I was going to actually suggest to see if anyone could come up with a hip hop name, because I can see that we're all such, you know, cool dudes who are down with that type of lingua.
Catch me listening
to Ice Cube at least once a week, thinking that I'm black.
They should call it NWA, because there's nothing in wrestling called that.
I like that kind of idea of like kind of record production, kind of hip hop crew kind of idea. I don't think that's really been done, and certainly in WWE it hasn't been done before. So that's
not a great success, at least. No. I don't really recall.
It's taking like the acclaimed John Cena gimmick and going that step further. Is any of them actually rapping yet, though? Because that's the next step. They're going to have someone actually performing.
I think Swerve
does.
Make
or fucking break it. So.
I think Swerve does. I'm sure he's done a wee bit on like his podcast and stuff. Like, not any like, you know, mainstream acclaim, but I think he's done a wee bit. I said acclaim there, and that completely made me think of the acclaimed in AEW. But no, I think that like the big guy that's the footballer, I forget his name. It's AJ something. But he apparently, a lot of people saying he's going to be absolutely amazing, is just like taking his stuff like a duck to water. So I'm excited to see where he goes. I'd never really heard him or really didn't really know who he was before NXT last week. So exciting to see.
Yeah. Let's move on to a quick bury then. Forced Shoe Patter. Now, over the last couple of weeks, we were burying the fact that Timmy Thatcher was trying a football chant when he's American and clearly can't do that. Now we've got to the point where Wayne Barrett's at the commentary table, loses his shoe inadvertently, it turns up in the ring, and Timothy Thatcher hits him with the shoe. And this is just all to get over with the NXT crowd, the Zach Gibson shoes off if you hate Gibson. I'll tell you right now, because it was obviously over here, ICW, all the UK shows, they're trying to get it into America and they're working an angle around shoes to do it. I don't like that. It's forced banter, and I hate forced banter.
It's quite hypocritical, considering that they tried to like smoosh the one fall chance as much as possible, and now they're like picking and choosing which little bits of the British wrestling crowd they want.
Yeah, that's true. It's true. So I fully expect by the time crowds get back in, we'll have the shoes off if you hate Gibson champion.
I think we're getting a show on a pole match before then, personally. I think we'll go that
Do you know what? I would do it past. And I've got to bury the humour on NXT this week as my sort of second bury. We had a dog shitting in a tank. We had a really, like, a boob gag about the Chaos and Theory scene. They're so big. And then he was talking about the nails when it was just double on top.
But I mean, Scarlett's nails are confusing. And, you know, I mean, they are pretty large. So he was
They are.
They're pretty good nails. Like,
they are good nails. But, yeah, there's no need for that in 2021. Come on now. There's no need for boob jokes.
And was Austin Theory not also one of the guys who was slightly accused of speaking out stuff a year ago as well? So they're not going a little bit close to the bone with that one.
Yeah. I do like Austin Theory as a wrestler, but yeah, I don't like the kind of place he finds himself in. I kind of viewed Austin Theory as almost, maybe it's just his building his physique, but I could see him going a kind of Randy Orton.
That's the exact guy that I thought he was like when they first came in.
Yeah, and I don't know if it is, but they're kind of making him out of a goofball and what have you.
Maybe a little bit of punishment for his behaviour, maybe, because he didn't really get a great booking when he was up on the main roster, and he seemed to get pushed up. Maybe Vince didn't like him, and he's kind of just put him back down. So he's told Paul to change his attitude.
Absolutely. I think it might be, apart from Nicholas, who obviously takes that, but I think he might still be the youngest person to compete at WrestleMania. I'm not certain on that, but I think he's definitely one of them. Apart from Nicholas.
And it's just going to go without saying, Cameron Grimes' mother put over this week. Brilliant, just brilliant again. I'm loving everything he's doing. I love how the fact he's not too hot on his new entrance theme, but
I think it might be worth just saying here, John, just for anybody listening, that it's May the 11th we're recording this, just in case you think you're listening to last week or the week before or the week before's podcast.
Hey, listen, Mr. Drew McIntyre, don't get started on me. But this week, I've got to put him, he's just adding so much, you know, he's doing the to the moon before he does the cave in now, which is, I love that as a finisher. I think that looks like it's going to be really protected as well as a finisher, to be honest with you. And then we had a vignette with him going to the VIP room, and then the limo turn up with DiBiase and just saying he's bought the club kind of idea. Love all that. I don't know where it's going to go with the Ted DiBiase thing. It's not going to be a match. Ted's not getting back in the ring, but I would love to see a kind of, you know, DiBiase is kind of manager / financial manager or something like that, and some sort of combination where they come together and one, and he's kind of a bit of a mouthpiece and they kind of play off each other. I think that'd be good fun going forward. But
financial advisor, you could actually do something like that quite easily.
I would love them to bring, but I don't think they will, and I think it would go down like a lead balloon with almost everybody apart from me. You could probably throw some money at Virgil and get him back, get a wee match between between James and Virgil.
Or the $1 million belt comes back into play. Now that would be, there we go. Get the $1 million belt back out, man. Get that out of the storage. Fantastic. Love that. Loving all of that. But match tonight has to go to the main event. You know, I was a bit wary because we had, obviously last week I was talking about, had a false count anywhere. Start the show, we finished off the show with a street fight. Bloody hell. One thing I would say, and I don't want to come over as being sexist, but women are lighter, right? Naturally lighter, and they don't have as much muscle mass. When it comes to ladder spots and table spots, you know, they don't have... There was a few spots there where I think the table was meant to break. I think the ladder was meant to break on a couple of occasions. But unfortunately, women just don't have the weight to bring it. You know, unless you're talking... Anaya or, you know, a Raquel or what have you. So when you're talking Shotzi and Ember and Candice, they just don't have the weight. So it looks, I don't want to get health and safety here, but it looks sore as a result of it. Sorry, that's health and safety man coming out there. I'm just looking out for my girl Shotzi. And, you know, Shotzi's the female Jeff Hardy now, let's face it. She is climb up stuff, jump off it. Sometimes looking a bit too dangerous, but it was a great spot she did from the top of kind of scaffolding onto the announce table. So yeah, that was match tonight. I thought they left everything out there, and you know, one thing I would say, the flip flop in the tag titles a wee bit too much, but maybe that will settle down because they're just new titles. But
I got to say, I had an interesting response to the bump that we've spoken about many times. I don't know if any of you saw that. but she just posted that gif of somebody like falling back onto their mattress, like
So enjoyed it. Match of the night for me, and let's go to AEW and Blood and Guts, Alex.
Well, first of all, apparently now we have to go to Fashion Corner first.
Oh, sorry, let's go to Fashion Corner.
We do it now, okay?
Yeah.
So, Inner Circle once again have just like pushed out there with their fashion, and this time coming out in unified jumpsuits that all had different penitentiaries of where they're from in the States, which I thought was a terrific touch. It's nice. They've done it with the tracksuits. They've always been good at that stuff. So, 10 points to them. And also, I think you'd get a bit sweaty wrestling in a jumpsuit, personally. You know, and the Pinnacle essentially went the opposite and all just wrestled in white pants. Why do the heels now often love to wear white while the faces wear black?
I think that was just by design for maximum blood splatter. But again, as like, because I seen somebody saying, "Oh, was MJF taking a shot at Randy Orton for wearing white at WrestleMania?" And I'm like, "That's a big stretch." Like, I think it was just for the blood.
Yeah, so that is a little bit of a stretch, really, isn't it? That's going a little bit too far, I'd say. But now that we're here, we may as well continue to talk about the main event. So personally, I liked it. I enjoyed it. I think there was some issues to do with timing, but I think that was more to do with television more than anything else, and having to cut to breaks. So you could kind of see where the traditional kind of War Games booking would go on. And they had seemed to like have, say, spots when the heels of the faces were on top for too long or whatever. But generally, I enjoyed it. Some of the production wasn't there. They brought back the cage with the death holes, which I don't like. But I've had an argument with my friends about this, actually, because I think it's really dangerous and someone's going to get hurt. But one of them is insistent it's a genius because it gives them the ultimate rest spot where they can just slide down into the death hole. So 6.5 dozen on that. I haven't quite decided. But yeah, that was, I'm actually going to also put over the storytelling in the match. I like the finish. I know no one else liked the finish, but these matches don't always need to have a big like move finish. It's nice to have something like the surrender. It's original storytelling. It's something a bit different. Rico and Bronze, what did you two think of it? As there's been obviously quite a lot of negative reaction kicking around online.
So I really enjoyed the match. I'll not say that I was disappointed by the finish. I enjoyed the finish, but I don't think the camera angles helped it. If they'd have just had it from the hard cam way, and then, you know, they could have used everything else, like in promo packages and stuff at a later date. But yeah, I wasn't disappointed, but I was disappointed, if that makes sense.
I think as well the TV wouldn't have helped with that as well, because I think maybe they obviously have had to keep the cameras on for an extra X amount to get to the end of the show. Well, if it's a pay-per-view, they could have actually cut it just after the fall and not had to do all the camera angles. So,
mm-hmm.
What about you?
I do think the same with the production values in that sense, not to get all sort of geeky and technical about those sort of things, but obviously the cameras stayed on Chris Jericho for way too long, where he was clearly taking the blade out, you know what I mean, before he gigged or whatever. But the fall was cool, good spot, but it was, you know, given away too easily that it was
too obvious. It was too obvious. And I mean, they did go to, I mean, obviously it was filmed on both nights, so I do feel quite bad for the crowd. Must have been a bit stop-starty, and it was very obvious because you'd think that they'd have been smart enough to film it at like the same time the next day, so you'd have got the natural light at least consistent. But no, it went from kind of black to white, which was another production issue.
I think the most important thing that came out of the match, though, was MJF at the end looking like an absolute superstar. There were so many good camera angles of him at the top of the cage. There were so many close-ups in his face, blood all over him, standing alone like, you know, some sort of wrestling god. I think that's probably got to be the most important thing. And maybe they could have had Sammy Guevara in Chris Jericho's place and Jericho throwing in the towel, having been the one that said that they'll never surrender, and Sammy taking another incredible bump. But I don't know.
The reason that it was Jericho that had to take the bump was, one, to end the MJF feud, and two, I think this is going to be the beginning of Jericho kind of transitioning away from the main event scene, preferably onto more commentary. And do you know what I mean? And slow breakup of the Inner Circle. I think you'll see Santana and Ortiz going off and doing their own thing, but I think you're probably going to have to keep Hager around with Sammy to keep Hager relevant, or I think Hager's just going to kind of float off into the distance. So I think it wouldn't have worked the same way if it had been anyone else.
But also allows for a potential rivalry between Chris Jericho and Sammy Guevara. So
yeah, that's true. It does that further down the line as well. And it's also obviously the shades to the MJF. Well, I think the whole throwing in the towel was also then the shades back to the initial MJF turn on Cody as well. So it did.
Oh, aye.
But you know what I mean? There's also the like the legacy to the previous storytelling that they've done. So they've nodded back to themselves, which I quite like. So it was good. I enjoyed some of it. And I don't know why everyone's getting so negative about it. Right, let's talk about something that wasn't in that main event, right? This is my second bury. Can they stop fucking announcing a match then immediately giving away the finish for the next week? They did it bloody 2 weeks ago.
I'm assuming you're referring to the Orange Cassidy.
Yeah. Kenny Omega. So don't get me wrong.
I actually thought you meant the SCU Young Bucks.
No, I buried that last week because they gave that away. And they've done it again this week by giving away the finish to Pac versus Omega versus Orange next week. Because who now thinks that Pac's going to win that match? Nobody. Absolutely fucking nobody. And it's
maybe they make it a triple threat. You never know.
Right, so Gary, I'm going to put £5 down here right now.
I'm not taking the bet.
Exactly. Now, I'm going to end on a positive. So, I mean, the show up to the Blood and Guts match wasn't terrifically. It was all right. It was fine. There was a couple of squash matches. There was the tag match, which was given away last week. But I think the one that everyone was kind of the big event of the undercard would have been Cody versus QT Marshall. So they've kind of managed to get that. I like the way they've still got QT stealing everyone's moves. But more importantly, I like that it's been used mainly to kickstart Anthony Ogogo and Cody in some way. And that it's, you know, I mean, the QT Cody was never going to be the big match that I think that QT would want it to be. Like, it was never going to be on a big pay-per-view, but the fact he got it on a TV pay-per-view and they've used it to get over Ogogo, who obviously came out and clean punched Cody in the chest. I thought it was great. I enjoyed that. That was a decent ending. Although, can Ogogo's gimmick get away with the British imperialness, please? I don't understand why he's in a faction of Americans and yet he's also taking the piss of America. Like, surely they
just.
You know
what I love though? That the Ogogo Olympic logo. I think it is like the best thing ever on the shorts, which I didn't mean that to rhyme, but he's got like the Olympic rings and they spell out Ogogo, and I'm just like, that's genius. I don't care if he's like, it can be as green as anything when he actually wrestles a full match, but man, I just love that logo.
I also love the stomach punch. Aye. It makes me really satisfied. I don't know. But yeah, I like Ogogo. I've got high hopes for Ogogo. I mean, but yeah, 10 points to that. My match of the night was the main event. I don't care what anyone else says. I enjoyed it. It was a TV main event. Fuck you.
There we go. From Alex. Let's hand over to the SmackDown boys then, the new age Mark Laws. Let's first of all go to Mr. Bronchill and your put over, sir.
I'll go with Fashion Corner first. So yeah. I think that Rico might go with the obvious. So Dolph Ziggler threw a little Easter egg in there. He was wearing his t-shirt from 2014, the pink one with the zebra print on it, which I really enjoyed seeing him in. But my first put over, I actually loved seeing Teddy Long on the show. Now, usually when they do some sort of retro show or like a Legends Night or whatever, there's like 20 of them and they're all dancing and doing stupid segments. Teddy Long gave us the greatest hits. We got tag matches. He was going to put Sami Zayn one-on-one with The Undertaker. We got it all up. I loved it. Him and Sami dancing backstage. Yeah, absolutely loved it.
Really happy when they buy into that gimmick when, you know, like they're like, just do the Undertaker thing. Everyone will love it. It's not relevant, but just do it.
How many players did Teddy Long say? How many times did he say the word player?
At least five, I heard.
At least five. Yeah, it has to go away. Let's go for a bury from you then, Rico.
Well, Fashion Corner first, obviously.
Oh, of course, obviously.
But I'm not sure what the obvious would be, but at the top of the show we had Pat McAfee and Michael Cole. Pat McAfee dressed up as old school Vince McMahon and Michael Cole rocking his like 1999 blue shirt that he used to wear every single week. I enjoyed that.
So I don't mind the throwback thing, but am I the only person that found that a bit odd that they went, throwback SmackDown, let's call back to everything that happened before SmackDown was a thing?
It was something to do with some sort of NASCAR event that they had throwback night, so Fox wanted SmackDown to do something similar. So that's basically why we got
it. I have interest, but we're talking about the nostalgia. Do either of you two's bury involve a certain 3D visualized set.
I do have it written
down. Okay, then I'm going to be quiet. I'm going to be quiet. That's fine. I just wanted to make sure.
You've just teased that out there. Let's get Rico's first.
That's not actually one of my buddies. One of my buddies is Reginald and Tamina, but I'm not going to go for that because that's low-hanging fruit. So instead, I'm going to sacrifice my buddy this week in favour of asking a wee question. So there was a 10-man tag team match. Heels came out on top. Baron Corbin got the pin. Now, if Roman Reigns hadn't come back as his new character, or he hadn't developed his new character and he didn't have the title just now, could Baron Corbin be the champion? Mm-hmm. And why
should he? I think it's long overdue.
You're talking to the wrong man here, Rico. Here we go. Come on, Gary.
No, I just think he's brilliant. Like I always say, he's like old school heel. I remember he actually had me believing that he was injured just because he sold a fall. I think it was a match with Kalisto or something. I was like, that guy just gets it. He just absolutely gets it. I just think he's brilliant. I feel like he's been hindered quite a bit in terms of the characters that he's portrayed. And I also think that, the Money in the Bank thing was a shambles, having him cash in and lose. I think he's absolutely amazing. I'd love to see him actually hold a world championship in the future. But not against Roman Reigns, because we've seen that match too many times.
Yeah.
We don't need to see him against Roman Reigns ever again.
What happens if we turn Baron face? How about face Baron Corbin versus heel Roman Reigns?
That is impossible. That is absolutely impossible. He's going to be a career heel.
Career heel.
I agree, but I want to see them try. I just for the banner. I just want to see them try.
That was kind of it for me, though. So,
Nice one. Let's go for a buddy from you then. I wonder what it could be, Mr. Bronschell.
So, Rico mentioned it. I had obviously like the very bad fist that they shown at the beginning. We all know it's in storage. Just take it in. But I'm actually going to go with the Reginald versus Tamina match because it was pointless. Cartwheels, dancing, jumping around. And to me, I was about to hit Reginald with a big splash and I had caused a DQ. And then when you're hearing that Mia Yim was supposed to debut last week and they ran out of time, we had that shite. So, can get it.
It's fucking brutal. It was awful.
Well, there you go. That's low-hanging fruit taken. What are you going to go for your put over then, Rico?
I'm going to go for the obvious with this one. Just the entire story that's going on with Roman and the Usos now, Jimmy Uso coming back, being Daniel Bryan's replacement, having issues with Roman Reigns, Jimmy Uso costing Seth Rollins a match, Seth telling Roman to sort of bring Jimmy in line, Roman sending Jay to do his dirty work, Jay speaking to Jimmy and obviously doing Roman's dirty work for him. Jimmy coming back out saying to Roman that he's no one's bitch, like he should be tag team champions with Jay. Jay coming out of the match later on, coming out of the ring later on and saying, like we could just make this all easier if you just acknowledge him. We could, we get back to where we are. Loved those little pieces of storytelling. And to tie this in to my sacrificed buddy earlier on, if you had Roman Reigns drop the title via shenanigans or whatever else to Cesaro, then you've got a face champion and you need a heel champion after that. So who do you have as your heel champion? Fucking Baron Corbin! Get it done!
It's going to take a lot more selling than that.
Well, I do agree that actually this is a way you could get the belt off Roman if you wanted to by using Jimmy and doing it that way. I'd be totally okay with that.
Do you think then with the storyline then Jimmy falls into line and then we have, then the turn happens when the two of them kind of turn on Roman, or do you think it'll go that Jay will side with Jimmy and they turn on Roman that way?
I said a couple of weeks ago that I think that Roman can keep the title as long as he wants until something more interesting comes along.
Yeah.
And this is now more interesting than him just purely having the title. So Jimmy and Jay aligning would be cool, but having Jay's struggle of conscience between, being Roman's right-hand man or being a tag team partner to his brother, There's so much story to tell there, and there's so much opportunity. You don't even say that this is going to be dragged out. It could be months worth of storytelling.
But for once, they've managed to get multiple people into the main event that all feel like they should be there. Roman, Jay, Jimmy, and then you've got Cesaro and even Seth, because like the Seth and Roman stuff have obviously been bouncing off each other, and it all makes sense. And I think that's a very difficult thing to do well in wrestling.
Yeah, it's a difficult thing to tell good stories.
And that's pretty good lately.
WWE, especially in wrestling, but they've struck gold here, in my opinion. It's just
brilliant. And Rikishi's not even been brought into it yet. When's that going to happen? I can't wait for that. Right, okay, match tonight then, gents.
It's got to be the 10-man tag. And at the very end of it, Apollo's posing with the belt and Sami Zayn goes up and starts touching it. So teasing more of the century than them two.
Love Sami Zayn. Rico, you agreeing?
Aye, just obviously because of Baron Corbin, really.
Oh my God, you found a fellow Baron Corbin fan, Gary. I hope you're delighted. There you go.
Big mark for him. Big
mark. Right, okay then, Gary. All right, let's do it. Let's move on. Let's find out what sound Raw is going to get this week.
I actually think so. I'm wanting to mention something before Raw that I think might show you how low my standards have slipped in terms of enjoyment just before I do Biddies and Putovers. But one thing I realised ahead of WrestleMania Backlash is that we actually have something that makes sense, because two of the people that are challenging for World Championships actually won at WrestleMania. So we've got Braun Strowman bet Shane McMahon and Cesaro bet Seth Rollins. What a novel idea that the people challenging for championships actually are, you know, have momentum behind them. But that just shows how bad that Raw is, because that's probably like one of my favourite things that I've learned, is that wee tiny bit. It's like congratulating somebody for wiping their arse. Like, that is like the kind of thing where it's like it's such a minuscule thing that should be done all the time, but I'm congratulating them on it anyway.
Do you want to go to Fashion Corner first, or do you want to leave that?
No, I'm going to go to Fashion Corner first, and I'm actually going to... It's not even a note on anyone in particular. It's me burying myself on Fashion Corner, because I was watching last night, and a sentence that came out of my mouth while I was watching is, Charlotte Flair's wearing the same shoes that Rachel Riley wears on Countdown. So I feel like I have to bury myself for that one. So everybody was dressed great. I just made an arse by knowing too much about what colour of shoes people wear. So that wasn't good. But first put over, I feel like I'm going to mislead you ever so slightly, but I'm going to say that my first put over is Adnan Virk.
What?
Of course it is not Adnan Virk, but it relates to Adnan Virk.
Right.
Sheamus cut an incredible promo, as Sheamus does all the time, because I just think the guy has been in the form of his life in the past, you know, year and a half since coming back. But he cut a promo, brilliant promo. Annoyingly, we kind of, well, anybody that read news beforehand knew he was going to be facing Humberto Carrillo. And he came out, cut a promo about how Adam Pearce said that he should be like the former champions that have came before him, go out, do an open challenge, but he feels like people should be earning their opportunities. And he's saying people would throw an opportunity, anybody, including that guy that's out of depth, out of his depth on commentary, Adnan Virk. It's like, the best thing a heel can do, I think, is say something that's truthful but harsh. And I mean, that's truthful. I'm not sure it's harsh, it's realistic. But I just thought that was brilliant. Like, saying the guy that is out of his depth, is always going to get
that. Do you think that's been approved, or do you think that's been off the cuff?
I think Vince has told him to do it. I think it's maybe been pitched somewhere along the line. He's went, fuck it, say that. And it was brilliant, absolutely brilliant. So I loved it. Gets a put over for me.
I have to say, I feel sorry for poor Adnan. No, that's that. If you're sitting as a commentator and that happens, you're thinking, fuck.
I think it's a good thing, because I'm going, that's the kind of thing where, you know, put people under pressure and try and make them perform. If he hears that live, then it has to roll with the punches.
He has, from what I've heard and of him so far, I don't watch Raw religiously. I just maybe pick up on the highlights and stuff. It doesn't seem... I think, am I right in saying that Corey's picked up a lot of the, and Byron have picked up a lot of the kind of slack? Oh,
they're doing all the heavy lifting quite a lot and correcting them quite a lot. And it's just like, it's one of the weird positions, because I feel bad for the guy, because I feel like it's a tricky position to be in, but I also don't feel bad for the guy, because he's getting paid a fuckload of money to be in that position, and he has taken that position. But it's just, for me, I hope it gets better. I know it's only been like 4 or 5 weeks. If you know nothing about wrestling, it's going to take you a lot longer to get into it, but it's just not working for me. I'm watching now with the volume down until somebody's cutting a promo and then I'm turning the volume up.
Yeah. Bring back Tom.
Aye. Anybody,
never thought anyone would be calling for you to bring back Tom Phillips.
I think it's actually proven that you could have a two-man booth and have both Byron and Corey kind of both picking up the slack in terms of being play-by-play slash colour commentators, because they're doing it the new anyway. So I think you could have a two-man booth.
I think you maybe need a third person with them, though, because those two do just start to bicker after a while, if you know what I mean.
Aye. So my first bury, actually I feel like I'm veering away from what I normally do when I bury things about Raw that are deliberate, whereas it is something that happened at the end of that match. And people that haven't watched Raw have probably seen the video, but Humberto Carrillo, back for 7 months, I think it is, having no wrestled on Raw, obviously got himself into brilliant, brilliant shape. Looks like, I think he was going to win the match last night and then go into a US Championship opportunity, because that just seems like the way the story was going. It looked like he tried to do a sunset flip to the outside that was going to protect Sheamus, because we know Sheamus is, you know, was nearly forced to retire for back and neck injuries. It looked like he tried to overly protect Sheamus, knee buckled under him, and I don't even know what the injury is, but it looked like he severely injured either back, leg, hip, something in that region. Obviously, the good things that came for it is the match got ended pretty quickly. Humberto realised quickly and didn't try and continue. Referee came out, protected everybody, protected Sheamus's heat as well by kind of splitting them up, even though you could see Sheamus talking to Humberto. But aye, horrible to see. So burying the fact to get injured pretty much rather than anything else. But it's fine, because my other bury is a major bury on creative. So I don't feel so bad. This is an odd one, because I didn't even catch this until I watched it back. But I mentioned it last week that Alexa Bliss, you know, they've gave her shite and she's turned into steak. Like, she's making something that is so terrible okay, but they're still continuing to make it terrible, so I don't know how much longer she can make it okay. They had, I think it was a 6-woman tag team match to start the show, which you're like, brilliant, we're getting a match to start the show. How often does that happen? Absolutely amazing. Delighted, can't wait for it. And then you've got Alexa Bliss on the swing with the doll on the outside, which the doll has merch, so you know it's going to keep going. So it's like, what's going to happen here? Obviously, there's going to be some kind of shenanigans. And you set yourself up for disappointment, and they still manage to disappoint you even further than the disappointment you've set yourself up for. So they have Alexa Bliss on the ramp, and I should make it clear, they don't show her ever again, really. Like, we always say there's too many camera cuts. They didn't put enough in this time. So we had Shayna Baszler kind of on top, like, the match is just rolling along. It doesn't look like it's gone anywhere in particular, just rolling along. And then Shayna Baszler stands up and suddenly looks like she's shat herself and starts, like, walking like John Wayne. Turns out that they have a worked cramp in her leg. And from what I've seen online, and I don't really want to properly bury WWE for this, but if it's deliberate or if it's not, it's still getting buried. Either she had the worst worked cramp ever randomly in the match and it caused her to lose the match, or what has now been suggested is that Alexa Bliss telekinetically made her get cramp in her leg and that's why she lost the match. So it's like, either option is shite. I don't really know what one is better at the two, but that looks like the way it's going. I actually thought before the match, like, adding two and two together, she mentioned that she was on the stage to keep her eye on someone in the match. So last week she mentioned wearing red and, you know, Lily being attracted to red. And I was like, well, Sonya Deville was with Charlotte. Charlotte was also wearing red. Oh, we're going for Alexa and Charlotte. And I think that is where we're going, because I had a wee stare down at the end. But it was just like, yet again, you've used Shayna Baszler as a catalyst for something that is just no good. And she has been made to look shite again. So it just wasn't it for me. And I feel like I've said shite quite a lot, but I mean, that's kind of summing up the experience I'm watching Raw now.
Leave us on a positive.
Ending on a positive. No, I was going to just pretend that there was no positive, but there actually is a positive. So, yet again, it's a weird... I think I set this up last week. Jinder Mahal coming back, I thought, was always going to be a positive, and I quite liked the way that they had, you know, him coming back with a faction. So I didn't watch main event, and I thought he was coming back with Indus Sher.
Yeah.
He's come back with one of Indus Sher. The other guy that is part of the faction is Dilshar Shanky. who is the over 7 foot guy that showed up at Superstar Spectacle. Looks, you know, apart from he's in ring attire, and as I seen on Raw Talk, he's out of ring attire, looks like a star. So he's in ring attire as a fucking black vest and just black, like, bootcut trousers. then was wearing, like, an open-neck blue polo shirt on Raw Talk. So it's like, change his attire, like, either get him in the share gear. Worth noting, the one guy for in the share that is there is not the one that spoiled the Keith Lee title win on NXT.
Right.
but they've now got at least Jinder Mahal with those two guys. Annoyingly, again, it meant that Jeff Hardy picked up a loss and pretty, you know,
I heard it was clean. It was fucking clean.
Not the best of matches. I thought they were going to run it back and have them help him win the match and be the. And then it's like, well, now you've acknowledged nobody watches main event. But they had that happen. So my put over is partly that Jinder's back, but the other put over, the other half of that is that last night Nikki Cross won on main event. So. Might we get Nikki Cross back next week? And
oh,
then,
I hope so.
So that's my other put over. And again,
Derek, can I just stop you for a second? You want to bring back Nikki Cross right now to put her in the Alexa Bliss Lily shite? You evil fucking bastards! Just you
maybe keep them apart a wee bit.
I don't think they know how to do that.
But and it gets worse because my match of the night. I don't even know how much I enjoyed this match. I just enjoyed it more than the last twice it's been on TV. And they done it. It was a proper Raw Pete night because they done it with Drew McIntyre and Lashley having a match. And then they had it with, the one that I'm going to actually put as my match of the night was Rhea Ripley versus Asuka. And it was good. And they actually played off the outside distraction thing quite well, which I think when, you know, you see somebody in commentary, it's like, right, they're going to be interfered in the match. It's going to just go this way and this way. They kind of played it well with Charlotte Flair and our shows that were the same as Rachel Riley's on Countdown. But it was an enjoyable match. It was more enjoyable than the two they've had in the last month, and it made me quite excited for the triple threat match this weekend. So very average Raw, but just now you'll take average because it's been below average for so long.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. Now, listen, before we go and wrap up this segment, I don't think the news had broken last week about Daniel Bryan. His contract was up. So just, I would love to go around the table and see where you would like to for him to end up. Alex, come to you first.
Well, the one thing that was suggested to me was that you pair him with a certain Samoan Joseph, and then you essentially do the Outsiders 2021 with the third man being CM Punk. And to that I respond, do it, but remove CM Punk. You don't need CM Punk. The CM Punk train's gone. But I kind of want him, I want Brian to show up in ROH first. And I want Joe to show up at Impact first. Then I want them both in AEW.
Right. Okay. Bronze.
I kind of just want to see him, you know, touring around, you know, be like that old school Ric Flair, just appearing in various promotions and just taking on their best talents. I'd love to see that. You know, AEW, Impact, ROH, everywhere. Japan. I'd love it.
Match by match contract. Why not? Rico.
I'm totally undecided, to be totally honest. I'm not sure how well he would maybe get on in New Japan. I know he'd be able to wrestle everyone well there, but I fear for his neck. I just fear for his general health if he was in Japan. So I don't know. I'm quite happy to see him turning up anywhere, because wherever he turns up, it'll get eyes on it. So wherever's fine by me.
And Gary, you might have a definite. You'll have a wee sneaky suspicion of where he's going. I don't know.
I was going to rub myself and play the MLW cards, but I'm not going to. So I actually have a different take. I don't think he's out of contract. I think his performer contract's up, but he's been working backstage in WWE for about a year now. So Triple H had two contracts when he's doing that. Stephanie McMahon, Shane McMahon, you kind of combine those contracts. I think he's still under contract, but not as an in-ring performer. Might sign a new one, but hypothetically, if I was to put him anywhere, I'm in the same boat in terms of New Japan. I don't know how comfortable I'd be watching that. I'd rather see him tour about. I don't think him being a standalone AEW competitor would work, because, I mean, where's Christian? We've not really seen him for a couple of weeks. Sting, again, like last week was the first time we've not seen him in 22 weeks, but he's not done much. I feel like it would be an amazing get, and if Daniel Bryan's on the market, of course you offer him a contract, but I'm not sure how many spaces there are. So I think I'd like to see him touring about, but I think he's going to stay in WWE.
Well, let's get him booked for ICW and see that dream match we've all been dreaming of. Grado versus Daniel Bryan, two workers of the game. Let's get that booked.
And that would be amazing because you could have the crowd doing eye chants. Absolutely brilliant.
Aye, absolutely, absolutely. So thanks for that, boys. Remember, you can get your buddies and put overs for Rab and Grado. Get them in on our Twitter at Wrestling Daft. It's on our Instagrams, Wrestling Daft Podcast, or just Wrestling Daft on Facebook. Bronchello, Rico, until next week, bon voyage.
Cheers, guys.
Let me tell you now, boys, about ExpressVPN. We've talked about them loads in this show, and we really appreciate their support to Wrestling Daft. If you don't know what a VPN is, basically it's going to unlock movies and shows that are only available in other countries. So I'm talking Netflixes across the world, because a lot of people don't know the Netflix in UK has different things on it from Netflix US or Netflix Australia or Netflix Japan, which Alex uses quite a lot, using ExpressVPN to check out anime. You're right into the anime stuff, Alex, aren't you?
I do, and it's the way, it just means I don't have to go and get a Crunchyroll subscription. It actually comes through with your existing Netflix subscription, so it saves me money in the world where there is 18 gazillion million subscriptions.
Absolutely. So you can check out, if you're an anime fan, that's one use that you can use for ExpressVPN. Because basically, you can change your online location when you're using ExpressVPN. So you control where you want sites to think you're located. Really easy to do. Open the app, you select the location, one button to connect, refresh your page, and you get access to all the Netflix movies in Japan, or America, Australia, whatever you want to do. Because there's 100 different countries to choose from, believe it or not. So you can get, on Canadian Netflix just now, you can get The Dark Knight. I don't think you can get that on UK Netflix at the moment. And, you know, you can access Hulu. If you're abroad, you can access BBC iPlayer if you listen to this show in America or Australia.
Well, you'd be proud. My flatmate, who is currently in Turkey at work, is using ExpressVPN to watch Line of Duty on BBC iPlayer.
There you go, John. Thank you. You need to get the standard Line of Duty line in there. And obviously, you can now access Peacock. So there's a lot of stuff that wrestling fans are getting on Peacock in the States just now. I believe, I might not be 100% correct, but you can get the documentaries on likes of Macho Man and stuff on Peacock. And they're doing that show, they're kind of wrestling, like porn stars meets wrestling.
Porn stars meets wrestling is a different show altogether.
That is a complete. There's a few of those.
But yeah, you can get that. Essentially, all the A&D documentaries, and something we're going to be talking a wee bit in the news as well. A new one coming out that's completely created by John Cena. That's going to be on Peacock. So
you're
not going to be able to watch that here, as far as I know.
Well, there you go. We'll have details on that and news. But yeah, if you want to get involved in that, choose ExpressVPN, because it's better than RPM, because you can basically stream in HD, no problems. There's very little buffering, no buffering or lag, in fact. It's compatible with phones, laptops, media consoles, smart TVs, and more. And not only does it let you change your location, it also encrypts your data and lets you surf the web safely and anonymously. And we've got an offer for ExpressVPN, which is very good. You're going to get 3 months. If you sign up for a year, you're going to get 3 months free. And all you have to do to get that offer is sign up using our code. It's expressvpn.com/wrestling. That's expressvpn.com/wrestling. Sign up now for a year, get 3 months free, courtesy of your friends at Wrestling Daft.
Ugh, spam calls. Sound familiar? Introducing Line 2. Get a second phone number right on your existing phone. Imagine discounts, appointments, online forms. Handle it all without giving out your personal number. It's like having a secret weapon against spam. And when those unwanted calls sneak through, boom, blocked. No more interruptions, no more stress. Stay connected, stay protected. Keep your main number safe and out of harm's way. Ready to take back your phone? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.
It's the Wrestling News with Gary Cassidy. Gary, what is happening in the world of wrestling news? I have seen that Dave Meltzer has made a so-called faux pas as he's revealed the possible location for this year's SummerSlam.
Well, it's a good thing that I checked my phone right before this segment, because I've got more to add to this as Fightful Selective just put out an email with some slightly different information, should I add? But I will tell you the Dave Meltzer one first, and then add on this in chronological order, as that will give you the best wee kind of summary, and you can make your own mind up as to what you think. But Dave Meltzer, I actually think this was only earlier today as well, so all coming out in the past 24 hours at point of recording, mentioned that apparently in the running to host this year's SummerSlam is Madison Square Garden, which, you know, obviously a legendary venue, quite small.
Yeah, I think you think that makes sense that. in this environment, though. To me, MSG is one of WWE's favorite venues. Going back there for a small crowd rather than filling out a stadium makes hella sense.
I think there's an in between where an outdoor stadium with slightly less people in it would be my preference, but I get that America is slightly different for us, and you know AEW have just announced a return to touring as well for August, so it looks like there's going to be crowds back and all that kind of stuff. So Madison Square Garden is what Dave Meltzer said was the venue that might be. It was very non-committal on it. He just mentioned it in passing. But he said that might be the place that we see SummerSlam taking place. However, Fightful have just sent out an email saying, at this moment, even within the company, there isn't a confirmed SummerSlam location that talent and staff know about, but it's a poorly kept secret that WWE want fans at the show. They said, harping back to WrestleVotes, they'd mentioned that, you know, August 1st is the date where we're going to start seeing crowds back at shows properly in WWE, which means AEW will be first because they're in July. But the locations that they've noted internally, Las Vegas seems to be gaining a lot of steam. Interestingly, yeah. Well, Double or Nothing is scheduled, I think. I don't know if it's actually going to be there this year or if they're still in between, if it's at Daly's place, but that's
well, we're close now, aren't we, to Double or Nothing?
Yep. So I actually, weirdly, I got the press credentials through the other day and can't go because we can't. But I know that Double or Nothing was meant to be in Las Vegas. I think it's now, no, actually might be at Daly's place. One of the last
still at Daly's.
Place, aye. So
location, it says Las Vegas, Daly's place. So I think it might be a Daly's place this year. Then.
Aye. Yeah. So that would be where Double or Nothing's meant to be, obviously.
Yeah, it was moved from the strip. Yep. Sorry.
So you've got Las Vegas internally is gaining a lot of steam, Fightful says, but they say they've also heard Phoenix and a nondescript Texas thrown about, so anywhere in Texas. They said they've not held any internal discussions in New York City as of this past weekend, even though Dave Meltzer had said he's held in Madison Square Garden. But they have said they've held that Vince McMahon specifically wanted to shake up the pay-per-view schedule back around WrestleMania, but it seems like it's actually gone back to normal. So interesting, SummerSlam, I think July, August it normally is, so we've got a couple of things in between. You know, Money in the Bank would be in between. I think Extreme Rules is normally after SummerSlam.
Is it
just
not?
Just after.
They mix it around because for a while it was following WrestleMania.
Aye. So obviously it's kind of mixed about a wee bit, but SummerSlam, it looks like SummerSlam is going to be in August, I would say, from what I've read there. Obviously, no date set, but it looks like it's going to be in August in front of fans, but could be anywhere at this point in time.
Okay. So Dave talking shite is what we're saying here.
It might be onto something, but it looks like it's one of many suggestions. But I think it's also worth noting where AEW are running shows. So they have, as I frantically scroll down to find the press release, they have announced that they're going to be touring again with ticketed live events from Wednesday 7th of July, where they'll be at the James L. Knight Center in Miami. I believe that's an indoor center. The next week, July 14th, Texas, and the greater Austin area, the HEB Center in Cedar Park, which I'm not familiar with at all. And the week after that, the 21st, again in Texas, but in Garland, Texas, greater Dallas area, Curtis Culwell Center. So it looks like they're looking to get somewhat back to normal. At least
is that going to be full crowds or is that going to be reduced capacity? We just don't know yet.
So it doesn't actually specify on this, but I know that for Double or Nothing, I should have known Double or Nothing was at Daly's Place because Tony Khan said on Busted Open Radio that they're going to be back to full capacity at Daly's Place for Double or Nothing. So interesting. They've essentially put out that press release with all the ticket information, but it just really says the price of the tickets and that it will all be, you know, with COVID safety guidelines in place, which in America, I think, means be careful. the specifications. They just kind of thanked the fans. They also rescheduled the dates for St. Louis and New Orleans, which has been to November, so quite a while away on that. It can happen then. But it might be worth, you know, Texas being mentioned both times there. That would be kind of a safe guess. I think New York, there's not really much happening there now, so yeah. You never know. Lots of time, lots of stuff can happen.
Yep. We'll wait and see. We alluded to earlier in the, when we're talking about ExpressVPN, something you'll be able to see in Peacock is a new series that John Cena is producing and narrating called WWE Evil. Gary, you've got the details.
So aye, a nice wee, you know, John Cena and his Instagram, he's always like this, where he'll post a wee photo and this.
What's a wee Instagram tease, does Cena like?
WWE logo, and coming soon. And it's like, oh, John Cena return. Everybody's getting excited for a John Cena return. And then, of course, it is not an in-ring return. But I think this is quite exciting anyway. This, you know, you always see, oh, John Cena's going to present. Ah, cool, right. It's just something that's, you know, they're just milking another wee series, which will be brilliant, but it's just another wee series to add on. Apparently, this is a complete John Cena creation and John Cena idea that he wanted to do. Nice wee bit of bait for New Japan fans would be John Cena's bringing Evil to WWE, because it is called WWE Evil with capital letters as Evil, apparently. But the show, from the press release, this is, we'll look at the most diabolical antagonists in WWE history. The 16-time world champion will produce and narrate a new WWE series on Peacock named WWE Evil, created by John Cena. It will look past WWE heels. So why not get John Cena out there, a guy that's never been a heel? but they've got John Cena narrating the full series about heels, and it's been billed as an entertaining psychological expose into the minds of those diabolical antagonists in WWE history and their impact on mainstream culture. But they've no name to it. It's going to be quite interesting, because it seems like it's going to be pretty heavily in character for what you read for that that press release. It doesn't seem like we're going to be getting a Chris Benoit episode, I'll go that far as saying. But I would guess we're going to get, you know, Kane would probably be a safe bet, and, you know, actually, can't think of, maybe Stone Cold Undertaker.
Stone Cold, I don't know. Big Show's flip-flopped so much as between heel and face. You know, I guess you've got to put the Big Show in there. Yeah, I'll be interested to see who Ric Flair's going to be in there.
I really like the fact that it's John Cena that's narrating it, because it'd be a bit better having somebody that's proper babyface narrating this than a heel. Yeah. So
Jake the Snake. Oh, well, Jake the Snake is more.
And also mainly just because the fact he's in AEW than in.
Yeah, that's true.
You're not going to really get him coming back to do it in terms of that.
Yeah, but Baron Corbin, there you go. Get Baron Corbin.
Get a Baron Corbin episode. There you go. Sorted. they could even do one on Vince McMahon, a Mr. McMahon episode. That'd be a hit. But interesting, because John Cena, I don't think he's been in it and it's been particularly bad. So it kind of lends a good reputation.
You've clearly not seen that one where he's a fireman.
Oh, no, I have not.
Oh, that's brutal. That's absolutely, I can't even remember what it was called, but do not watch that John Cena film. It was absolutely brutal.
Big fan of Daddy's Home, though, and I've actually got two John Cena books sitting next to me, his inspirational quote books.
Yeah, so, Daddy's Home is good, so I'll wait for that. And talking of heels, nice little segue into Velveteen Dream was spotted backstage at WWE Raw, apparently, on Monday.
Aye, so again, this is a kind of fleeting story that's kind of come and gone. Dave Meltzer, literally seconds before Raw actually aired, had noted that Velveteen Dream was backstage for Raw, but with the caveat that he didn't know if it was there for the show or for another reason. It's this, you know, I feel like we mention Velveteen Dream once every 6 months on this show, and no more, no less. It's always like, oh, he's back. Oh, he's gone.
No.
And it's just that kind of fleeting thing. But he'd mentioned that it was there. Didn't know if it was for Raw. Didn't know what it was for. It's this kind of odd thing now where Raw, they've mentioned that Raw is, or they're hoping Raw is going to be the lead into NXT being on the Tuesday. You don't know how much of that's just promotional talk, but there actually has been a lot of NXT adverts on Raw recently. Weirdly, Karrion Kross tweeted it last night as well, saying, oh, we've got something to say tonight. And everybody's immediately jumping to Karrion Kross is going to be on Raw. Turns out it was just a wee snippet that got put out in an advert for tonight's NXT. And, you know, it's quite smart that they're doing it, but I didn't know if they were going to have him show up in some way, shape, or form. But it's also worth noting they're based in Florida, so he could have just turned up for a meeting. Maybe get sacked. Probably not. Almost definitely not to get sacked, I should say. That is a fleeting comment for me that I would hope hasn't taken in any seriousness. But apparently it was there. According to Dave Meltzer, I've not seen anybody corroborate it, but he's Dave Meltzer, so I guess we take his word at face value because he's garnered enough goodwill to have his word taken at face value. So and actually I just got a wee interesting email there. Nothing completely massive, but just because we were talking about, you know, where would Daniel Bryan go and all this kind of thing, and, you know, we name specific promotions. Interestingly, I've just got an email as being part of, like, the subscribing to EC3's list, like, just because he puts out these wee videos now and again.
Yeah, he does a blog. He does a very good blog, actually, EC3, doesn't he?
Aye, so he's actually just put out EC3 presents the narrative, and it's a trailer for a match between him and Matt Cardona, not under any banner at any promotion whatsoever. So it looks like it's just EC3 putting out his own, like, match. And it's the poster is just Memorial Day, Cardona versus EC3, called Free the Narrative, streaming on Vimeo and on his own website. So wow. It looks like they're just going to have a match there. And it says, oh, wait, I've actually, because I've not watched the trailer because it's just dropped. But it says the trailer reveals other combatants. Who are these participants that chose to control their narrative? So it looks like he's in pay-per-view assaults.
Wow, that's brilliant.
Interesting.
Why not seeing a no audience time? Why not do that? I mean, if Daniel Bryan and Samoa Joe got themselves together and did something like that, it would be massive.
And all you need is a ring, literally a ring and a production crew. I mean, we've seen the Good Brothers there. We've had them on the show talking about it. But it looks like he's just chucking out his own thing. And I actually think, I'm not 100% in this, but I'm sure his match that he had with Moose and Impact, that was the unsanctioned match that was, like, completely cinematic. I think that was actually, you know, his own recording, and it might be the same kind of thing. So I just thought that was a wee interesting wee email. And EC3 is a creative genius. Matt Cardona obviously changed the industry with his internet videos. So could be interesting.
Good on them.
Nice to end on good news.
Excellent. Good news to finish. Thank you very much, as ever. So that's it for this week's Wrestling Daft. Before we go, let's just run through the WrestleMania Backlash card and see what you guys are thinking. I've got 6 matches down here. Maybe I'm missing a few. Gary, you can maybe add them in.
I think there are 6, but I think one was meant to be added, as I said earlier, with Humberto and Sheamus, so you might get something replacing that. So,
Damian Priest versus The Miz in a Lumberjack match. Priest surely on that.
Priest won a match against John Morrison, so he could pick the stipulation for that, and he picked Lumberjack. So, interesting. I mean, gets more people in the card, I guess.
Yeah.
The COVID times, that's not a good thing.
Yeah.
Not a good thing.
Priest needs to start doing something. He needs to without having Bad Bunny by his side. But I just hope it doesn't go the way of Mojo Rowley, where it's like, oh, the Gronk's gone now, so we're burying you. But he's too good.
It looks like after the tomato shite we had a couple of weeks ago, the match last night was really good between him and Morrison. That actually probably should have been my match of the night for earlier, but it was really good. And Miz, just brilliant character work. So I think we're going to get a good match. And I think, you know, Miz seems to be in that position now where he can lose and it's fine. Become another WWE champion in another year's time, he can lose and put our piece, and it's probably the right decision.
Yeah. Dirty Dogs versus the Mysterios. Time for a switch up. Yeah,
Mysterios.
I think they'll you know.
It's about time. They've been due it for a while. I'm surprised this has taken this long to give them the run. I mean, maybe they were just waiting until Dominic was more confident in the ring, but still.
And I believe they would become the first ever father and son tag team.
Yeah, I think
there you go. That's good enough reason.
Of course, it's going to happen. Absolutely.
That means they're going to drop it to Vince and Shane, though. But,
it'd be nice to have Ray have. I guess this would be his last run with a belt. I'm guessing. I can't see him.
I always go back to it where when I interviewed him back in December 2019, I think this was, and I asked him before Dominic had debuted, like, what's your vision? How long do you think you've got left? And he was like, as long as I get to stand in the ring with my son, I would be happy to retire any time after that. So I think this could be a just bucket list, tick it off, and then Etney's go after that's bonus time.
Yeah, absolutely. Ripley versus Asuka versus Charlotte. It's going to be Charlotte, obviously.
I think this is where we might see a wee Alexa Bliss interference to take Charlotte out of the match and Ripley pin Asuka.
Oh, but then that would mean Charlotte going back to being a face. No.
That's a good point. Actually, I am not really sure where they would go in terms of the dynamics there. Go back to the well. Charlotte to win. Charlotte pins Asuka.
I think Ripley might retain. I don't know what there'll be. There'll be something, but Ripley will probably retain in that. Bianca versus Bayley. Bianca, isn't it? Too early to take the belt off her.
I don't know. I think Bayley is that strong a character that it wouldn't harm Bianca too much. But again, it is a bit early. I mean, a month after winning the main event of WrestleMania, like the biggest match of your career, your first crowning achievement, I think it would be a wee bit mean to take the belt off her like a month later.
Yeah.
You could turn to the next Sasha, though, and just never actually defend the belt.
Aye. Let's not do that. Yeah. That'll create a full new online IWC moan for the next year or so.
There we go. And triple threat, Bobby versus Drew versus Braun.
Do you know, call me crazy, I think Braun Strowman might win this one.
What?
I'm going to call you crazy.
I think
they've got to change one of the main belts.
That's what I'm thinking. I feel like there's got to be a title change that isn't just the tag belts. I would keep it on Bobby Lashley. I would keep it on Bobby Lashley. I would have Drew McIntyre go to SmackDown in the future. I feel like if Drew loses this and stays in the championship picture, it does him more harm than good.
Yeah, yeah.
And I feel like we're kind of also getting to the point where how much longer can Lashley hold it without getting a wee bit stale as well? So I feel like Braun might be the way to go, but at the same time, I'm not confident in what they would do with Braun as champion. So I'm not too sure. I think this is the probably the hardest one to call on the full card. I feel like it could go to anybody because obviously we've seen it when Miz won the title and when Lashley won the title, they don't really have a problem switching it up. So they could easily put it on anybody.
Yeah. And finally, the last one we've got confirmed at the moment ahead of SmackDown. I'm guessing Big E and Apollo might end up in the card, but I don't know. Potentially.
Maybe.
But yeah, the last one we've got in the card is obviously Reigns versus Cesaro. DQ for me on this one. DQ finish.
I'd love a Cesaro win. But again, I think this is the kind of match where it's kind of booking themselves into a corner because everybody wants Cesaro to win, but everybody wants Roman Reigns to stay Universal Champion, and you can't have it both ways. So.
Yeah. I think there's going to be some Uso action involved here. Jay maybe causing the disqualification, Jimmy then reacting. That's how it'll probably go down, and it keeps Cesaro, you know, in the fight, I guess, and hopefully it's too. I mean, everyone wants Reigns to retain that belt. He's done such a good job with it. So
the perfect way out, I think, is you have Cesaro make Reigns look a wee bit vulnerable, maybe get him in the swing a wee bit, and kind of look like he's on the kind of on the progression, and then take it for sweep his feet for under him, and then you want that moment to happen at a SummerSlam or something like that. I know it's a wee while away, but you want a big moment for that in front of fans as well. So.
Exactly. You want Cesaro win in front of fans. So fingers crossed that happens somewhere down the line, but now it is not the time. Well, thank you, as ever, gentlemen. If you're listening, remember you can rate, review, and subscribe on Apple, wherever you get your podcast. Wrapping Grado back on Friday. We had Jeff Jarrett on last. Did you listen to the Jeff Jarrett interview? He gave away a wee bit more than.
I did indeed. If only I'd worked with Jeff Jarrett in TNA, I think I'd have got a wee bit more out of him than I did for my interview. And I wasn't a game for singing his theme.
TV though, he's done that, Gary. He's got a lot more out of it.
I mean, sorted. But that was a really good interview. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, back to normal on the running this week with Rab and Grado. List of wrestling, Daff, we put it to the listeners. I put up for nomination with the John Cena returning to Raw and SmackDown in a couple of weeks' time, I believe. That's been advertised. I said best Cena moments, and then I put it out to the listener, said, what would you like us to talk about? And I thought this was the funniest one. Which wrestlers would get most nips at the dancing? And that's obviously what won it. And off the back of us talking all about Shawn Michaels and how bloody gorgeous he looks last week. Yeah, Shawn Michaels. Anyone for you, Alex, who'd get the most nips at the dancing?
No, let's just say Dashing Cody Rhodes because he had the gimmick.
I think I'm going to say Vince McMahon's ass because it could just go dishing out free drinks for people to join the Kiss My Ass Club.
Yeah, I've got to say Randy Orton's a handsome big bugger, isn't he?
I don't like Randy personally. No, I wouldn't agree with that. What about your Austin Theory or your Humberto Carrillo or your Angel Garza.
Oh, Angel Garza.
Angel Garza is the way to go there.
That's the one thing Adnan Vink knows about wrestling.
Yeah. My wife would personally go for Roman Reigns.
Roman Reigns is
he's not going empty handed. I'll tell you that much. Anyway, that's what we're chatting about randomly on the list of Wrestling Daft this week. So get your suggestions in for Rab and Grado. Remember, if you want more content from this show and see the video version of this, you can do that at patreon.com/wrestlingdaft. Loads of shit up there now. We've got loads of, including actually Greg Hempel, who was on our sister podcast Football Daft, and we got off on a 10-minute tangent about wrestling. So we edited that out of Football Daft because it didn't really make sense. But Chris Toll, Grado, basically had a 10-minute chat to Greg about Kelvin Brawl and bits and bobs around wrestling, including a really amazing Mr. Fuji story. So get on to that on the Patreon. You'll get that up there, patreon.com/wrestlingdaft. Buy a t-shirt, shop.sweatshirt.co.uk/wrestlingdaft. Gary Casty, have you got anything to plug?
No, I should mention, I normally don't mention when I'm doing upcoming interviews, just in case they fall out of place, but next week, I believe when we record, I will have spoken to a former WWE and WCW tag team champion. If I gave you other guesses, you probably wouldn't get it. I will say he was in a famous wedding segment.
Oh, you interviewed Chuck
Palumbo. So I'm looking forward to that. So we'll definitely have that on the show either next week.
Brilliant.
So I'm looking forward to that.
Gary, you love that wedding as well.
Forget about any other questions. I'm just going to be talking to him about the fucking Eric Bischoff reveal in that wedding segment. So I've got that coming up. But Wrestling Gary, you'll see everything I'm no doing this week because it's a pure quiet week and I'm just relaxing, enjoying myself.
Good, you deserve it.
Take some time away.
When does the podcast start? Catch up with Gary.
Good question.
Cassidy.
Good question. Probably next week or something.
Wonder you've ruined the alliterative title there already.
I'm a heel for being alliterative, so I'll take it. That's John hates alliteration. So, next week, 2 weeks, I don't know.
All right.
Not even thought about it. Announced it and then went, fuck it, chuck out the back bubble.
There we go. So you can see that soon. Check out Gary's Twitter for all the latest details on that. And Alex, we're just going to admire your hair. Please check out the video version of this podcast.
I think I'm getting quite Chuck Palumbo, actually, now that that's on topic.
So yeah, you are actually.
Halfway to Chuck Palumbo currently.
Excellent. There we go. So that's what you got. And obviously, main podcast, Rab and Grado on Friday. Gentlemen, thank you very much. And until next time, keep marking out. Audio Frontier.